We're turning again in God's Word to the book of Hosea. Hosea chapter 10. Let's ask for God's help now as we come to consider His truth today. Our Father in heaven, we pray, O Lord, now that as we turn to Your Word, that Thou would speak to us. Indeed, we would make it our prayer, O, for a closer walk with God. Lord, draw us into that closer walk with Thyself. We pray that Thou wouldst cause us not only to be conscious of Your presence here, but conscious of Your speaking voice. Lord, above the voice of man, may the voice of God be heard. Speak through Your truth today. Speak with power. Speak, O God, in such a way that Thou wouldst arrest us and challenge us and change us and sanctify us through Your Word. Lord, we rejoice that Your Word is quick and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. O God, we pray that You'll let Your Word loose today upon our lives. Let it loose upon our hearts and souls. Lord, help us to preach Your Word today. Give us grace, give us wisdom, give us the enablement of Your Spirit. And indeed, we would make it our prayer as Your Word is preached. May Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In our congregation this week, we're having four evenings of prayer. The reason why we're having these special seasons of prayer is to seek the Lord, that we may know His help and blessing in His work here in Garva. Now, with these times of prayer in mind, I want us to consider the words of verse 12 here in Hosea chapter 10. See again what it says in verse 12. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you. These words of God's servant Hosea were really an appeal to the people of Israel to turn to God afresh and seek Him, that they might know a time of spiritual reviving in their lives and in God's work. And this was God's servant's appeal to the people in his day, that they would earnestly turn to God afresh, that they would know a time of reformation, a time of change, and a time of blessing in God's work. Now, as the prophet Hosea ministered God's word in Israel, he did so at a time of great apostasy. The nation spiritually, politically, and morally were in a terrible state of decline and depravity. It really was the most wicked and evil day that Hosea administered God's word in. If you turn back to Hosea chapter 4, it gives us some idea of the time in which Hosea ministered, what the condition was like spiritually. It was a time of prosperity physically in the nation, a time of increase financially. And so there was prosperity in the physical sense, but spiritually, it was a great time of decline. And notice what it says here in the opening two verses of Hosea 4. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there's no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying, and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood toucheth blood. What wickedness is described here. What a sinful state of affairs is set forth. And see also in verse 6 how there was a great despising of the truth in those days. See what it says in verse 6 here in chapter 4. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because they have rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. This then was a time when the nation of Israel was found in a wayward and wicked state. They had turned from the truth. They had forgotten God's laws. And they lived in utter rebellion against Him. Indeed, in the prophecy of Hosea, the people of Israel are likened unto an adulterous wife who has selflessly and shamelessly turned from her loving husband and behaved as a harlot. And this is the picture that Hosea paints of the people of Israel. A people that are adulterous. And a people that have turned from God. And really, this is what the people of Israel had done. All that they had and were as a nation was because the Lord had set His love upon them. And bestowed upon them the most wonderful blessings. God had delivered them from bondage and slavery in Egypt. And had given to them a land flowing with milk and honey. Because of God's great kindness and love toward the people of Israel, they had become the greatest nation on earth. Deuteronomy 33 verse 29 puts it this way. Happy art thou, O Israel, Who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord? And so this nation had known God's blessing in a most tremendous way. So much so that it could be said, who's like unto this nation? The greatest nation on earth. The most blessed, the most privileged, an honored nation on earth. How good and kind had God been to these people. Yet after receiving all that the Lord had done for them, they turned from God, rejected his word, worshipped false gods, and lived sinful and immoral lives. As a nation, the people of Israel really did commit spiritual adultery. They had wickedly sinned against the Lord, who had loved them and abundantly blessed them. This then was the climate in which Hosea served the Lord and ministered God's word in Israel. Therefore, it is no surprise that we read here of how he exhorted the people of Israel to turn to God afresh, to repent and turn to him, that they might know a gracious work of reformation and revival in their lives. Notice in the closing words of our text, the hope that Hosea had was that the Lord would rain righteousness upon them. For it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon them. This is really what happens when God moves in revival blessing. He rains righteousness upon the earth. And the work of God comes to know showers of blessing. It is as if God is opening up the windows of heaven and pouring out upon his people a mighty deluge of righteousness. In Psalm 72 verse 6 we read, he shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. As it speaks here of the mown grass, the thought is the pasture grass. Think of the effect of the rain upon the pasture grass, especially in the hot climate in the land of Israel. The rain would cause the grass to be instantly revived and burst forth into new life. It would become lush and green, and the barren, dusty wasteland would become productive and fruitful again. This is the effect of the rain upon the pasture grass. As Hosea then urges the people of Israel to turn to God afresh, till he come and rain righteousness upon you, he was saying to them, you as a people need to seek for spiritual revival and renewal. The rain which you need is that which will cause righteousness to burst forth in your lives. It is time for you to look to the Lord, that your lives might yield the pleasant and sweet fruit of righteousness. This is what Hosea was declaring to the backslidden people of Israel. It's time to seek God. It's time to turn to God afresh, that you might know this time of refreshing spiritually, a rain of righteousness, God coming, God doing a new thing, God making the dusty, barren, spiritual landscape a time of fruitfulness and increase again. And then focusing upon the truth that is brought before us in this text of Scripture, the subject that I want us to consider here is the rain of righteousness. As we come to these special evenings of prayer this week, surely this is our desire, that the Lord would open up the windows of heaven and rain righteousness upon us as a congregation. This is what we all need. This is what we need as individual believers. And this is also what we need as a congregation of God's people, to know a gracious work of revival, spiritual revival in our lives. As we think of the times that we live in, there are many similarities to the days of Hosea. These days are also days of spiritual, political, and moral waywardness and wickedness. We live in sinful times. And spiritually, the land is barren and dusty. Spiritually, things are on a decline. And we see it in every aspect of our society and our nation. We live in wicked days, evil days. Therefore, the truth set forth in our text today is very much applicable to our circumstances, just as it was to those people in Hosea's day. These words very much apply to us, especially as we approach a week of prayer. Notice then with me here what we are to do as we seek after the reign of righteousness in our lives, what we are to do. In the first place, we see here, the reign of righteousness will only come when there is a sorrowing over sin. The reign of righteousness will only come when there is a sorrowing over sin. See again the words of our text. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. As Hosea speaks here to the people of Israel, he likens them unto ground. To ground. And he says to them, break up your fallow ground. Fallow ground is ground that is used for tillage. It is land that is ploughed and harrowed that a particular crop might be sown in it. This then is the type of ground which Hosea likens the people of Israel unto. And the instruction they're given is, break up your fallow ground. Break up this ground that is used for tillage. The first thing which needs to take place before fallow ground can become fruitful and productive is it needs to be broken up. It needs to be worked and prepared so the seed can be sown and it can produce a good harvest or crop. Hosea then is saying to the people of Israel, this is where you must start if you're to know God's blessing in your lives. If your lives are to be productive and if you are to enjoy the fruit of righteousness, then you must begin by breaking up your fallow ground. Of course, we need to consider what Hosea was actually referring to as he declared to the wayward people of Israel, break up your fallow ground. What is the spiritual meaning? What is the significance of these words? Well, what Hosea was instructing the people of Israel in regard to here was how they were to deal with the great problem of sin in their lives. How they were to deal with the great problem of sin. I've already referred to how the nation was in a bad and backslidden state. The situation then needed to be addressed. The problem of sin had to be dealt with. And this is what Hosea is doing here as he declares, break up your fallow ground. He's addressing the problem of sin. He's addressing the wickedness and the evil and the rebellion that was everywhere in the nation. Now as God's servant directs the people of Israel to break up their fallow ground, he was telling them they must deal with the problem of sin in a twofold manner. They must deal with this problem of sin in their lives in a twofold manner. In the first place, breaking up the fallow ground refers to a cleansing from sin. A cleansing from sin. Before fallow ground is broken up, the weeds, thorns and briars must be dug up and removed. The ground must be cleared of unwanted weeds and shrubs. In modern farming, weed killer is used to eradicate all unwanted vegetation. But in ancient times, weeds and unwanted plants and shrubs had to be dug up by hand. They had to be actually dug out one by one. And a laborer or a worker would have to go along and strip the land of all the weeds and thorns and briars and all the vegetation that was unwanted and corrupting the land. Therefore, as Hosea proclaimed to the people of Israel, break up your fallow ground. He was saying to them, the weeds and thorns of sin that have grown up everywhere in your lives need to be removed. They need to be removed. They need to be taken out. There needs to be a digging out of sin and a casting away of that which is sinful from your heart and lives. This is very much implied as he says, break up your fallow ground. Because the first process in breaking up the fallow ground is digging out the weeds, digging out the briars and the thorns and all the unwanted vegetation that was corrupting and spoiling the land. And therefore he was saying to these people, listen, there needs to be this getting rid of sin. Putting sin out of your lives. The prophet Jeremiah said a very similar thing to the people of Judah. Hosea was a prophet to the people of Israel, and Jeremiah was a prophet to the people of Judah. But Jeremiah said a very similar thing to the people of Judah in Jeremiah 4 verse 3. This is what he told them. For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. See here how breaking up the fallow ground is connected to taking away the thorns. It really implying you need to take away the thorns. He was saying, break up the fallow ground. Take away the thorns so you don't sow among the thorns. So you don't sow among the weeds that are there growing in the ground. Therefore, breaking up the fallow ground implies a cleansing from sin. Now here is an area that we must be serious about. Here is an area that we all must be serious about. If we are serious about knowing God's blessing in our lives, sin must be weeded out. It must be rooted up if we are to know spiritual growth and fruitfulness. This is something that we must face. And we must seriously face. The problem with sin is that it continually springs up in our lives. And so we need to be constantly examining our hearts and lives and dealing with the shoots of sin as they sprout up. Sin is continually seeking to sprout up and to raise its ugly head in our lives, just as weeds want to continue to grow in a field. So in these sinful and fleshy hearts that we have, the weeds of sin want to continually sprout up and grow up. And so therefore there needs to be this continual examining of our hearts and considering our spiritual state. Let me ask you, believer, is there things in your life which need to be taken away? Are there things that need to be weeded out? Only you can answer this. Perhaps the weeds of prayerlessness. That weed of prayerlessness has spread it up in your life. Oh, on a bygone day, you were one who gave yourself to prayer. You were one who joined with God's people in the prayer meeting. But a weed of prayerlessness, it's just sprung up. It needs to be rooted out. Maybe it's a weed of unbelief. And how dangerous this is. A weed of unbelief. You start to doubt God. You start to doubt God's goodness. You start to doubt God's ability. And so you're not earnestly seeking God today because you're not believing in God as you ought to. That He is the Almighty and He can do the impossible and He can work in mighty power in this church and transform things in the most miraculous way. You doubt this. You look at the situation, you look at our circumstances and you're filled with unbelief. That's a weed that needs to be taken out. Maybe it's a weed of covetousness. You've set your heart upon other things instead of the Lord. You're living for temporal things, carnal things. Maybe it's a weed of coldness. And really we could go on and on and on, listing many sins that can grow up in the heart and life of the Christian. Oh, if our hearts and lives are going to be fruitful places, places of blessing, then there needs to be a dealing with the intrusive weeds of sin. We need to face this reality. And I would exhort you to do that today. Dear believer, do you want to know revival in your life? Do you not want to know revival in the work of God here in Garva? Do you want to know God's blessing resting upon us? Then let's be serious about sin. And so this breaking up the fallow ground involved a cleansing from sin. But it also involved a contrition over sin. When the fallow ground is broken up, first the plough is used, and then afterwards some sort of harrow is used to break up the sod. The whole point of breaking up the fallow ground is to open up hard and compacted soil so that it can receive the seed down into it. This process really turns solid and tough ground into soft and tender ground. That's what happens when the fallow ground is broken up. Compacted hard soil is opened up and able then to receive the seed. Therefore, as Hosea says to the people of Israel, break up your fallow ground, he was saying to them, your hard and sinful hearts need to be broken. They need to be humbled before the Lord. There needs to be a contrition, a brokenness over your sin and sinful ways. Your heart needs to be tender and humbled before God. Now, this is what God is ultimately looking for. Let me say this. This is what God is ultimately looking for. Yes, we are to continually endeavor to weed sin up and cast it out of our lives. We're to do this. We're to put sin up wherever we find it. Wherever it raises its ugly head, we're to seek to cast it out. But ultimately, what is God looking for? He's looking for humility, brokenness, contrition. Psalm 51:17 declares the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. This is how we must deal with our sin. Confessing it with sorrow and brokenness of heart. We need to humble ourselves before the Lord. We need to humble ourselves before Him. Confessing our own sinfulness. Confessing our own need. Confessing our own undoneness. We need to get to this place where we're not only casting sin out, as it were, but where we are broken over our sin. We're humbled by our sin before God. And our hearts are tender. Believer, does your sin pain you? Does it grieve you? Does it fill you with sorrow? Does your sin, does your waywardness, does your coldness, does your backsliding, does it grieve your soul? If this is not the case, then your heart has become cold and hard. And you need to heed the exhortation of God's word here and break up your fallow ground. You need to do this. This is wonderfully illustrated for us in the prodigal son. Think of the prodigal son. As the prodigal son left the far country, he not only turned his back upon his sin, he not only cast sin out of his life. That was one stage of dealing with sin, casting it out. But he came back to his father. And in humility and contrition, he confessed his sin to his father. He confessed his own unworthiness. And really, this is how we are to deal with sin. Not only turn from it, not only cast it out of our lives, but come before God, just like the prodigal son did, came before his father, and confess our unworthiness, confess we're not worthy to become even a hired servant of God. And in humility and brokenness, own our sin and our wickedness. This is what the Lord is looking for today. Humility. Breaking up of our fallow ground speaks about a breaking up of our lives, a humbling of ourselves before God. Now, this is what God is looking for. This is what He's looking for. Yes, we can look at other people. Yes, we can look at our society and think, well, you know, there's terrible things happening out there. Oh, the sin. Look at those Christians who don't come to God's house. Look at those Christians who don't do this and don't do that. I'm not as bad as them. Look at our society that's filled with wickedness and evil and all the things that people are doing. Think about government. What are these people in government doing? How corrupt and wicked they are. Let me tell you, forget about it all. Forget about it all. There's only one heart that really matters, and that's your own heart. That's the fallow ground that you need to be concerned about, that needs to be broken up. Your own heart and life. And I preach to myself today just as I preach to you. This is all that matters. This is what God is looking for. And so the reign of righteousness will only come when there is a true sorrowing over sin, a cleansing and a contrition within our hearts and lives. But then notice secondly with me here, the reign of righteousness will only come when there is a submission to the Scriptures. See now the opening words in our text. It says here in verse 12, sow to yourselves in righteousness. After ground has been weeded and broken up, the next thing the farmer or gardener will do is sow the particular seed that he wants to grow in that ground. He will take good seed and plant it carefully in the earth that the crop he wants might grow. As Hosea then says here to the people of Israel, sow to yourselves in righteousness. He's telling them what they must sow in the ground of their hearts and lives. What they must sow if they are to know spiritual growth and fruitfulness. They must sow to themselves righteousness. That's the seed they must sow, righteousness. Now the righteousness that is spoken of here is really a reference to the precious seed of truth, to the word of God. This was the seed they needed to sow in the soil of their hearts, the righteous and powerful seed of the living word of God. This was the exhortation of God's servant then to God's people. You need to sow the seed of truth, the seed of righteousness. This is still the seed, the only seed that will produce spiritual fruitfulness and blessing in the life of the Christian and in the church. If we, as God's people today, are going to know personal revival and a prospering in God's work, then there must be a sowing to ourselves in righteousness. There must be a receiving of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God into our lives. This is vital. This is essential in the work of revival and reformation and change. This then brings us to consider how we as God's people can sow to ourselves in righteousness. How can we sow the seed of truth in our lives? Well, sowing to ourselves in righteousness involves two things. It involves, in the first place, learning the word. Learning the word. If we think of the very picture that Hosea is painting here of the seed being placed into the earth and the ground receiving it and holding it. This is what we as Christ people are to do with the precious seed of truth. We are to receive it into our hearts and minds. We are to grasp it and let it sink deep down within us. And think of that little seed that falls into the earth. Think of the seed that has been scattered abroad. And that seed just falls down into the earth and the soil closes over upon it. And the ground holds it. And this is the picture that Hosea is painting for us here. Well, this is what we are to do with the word of God, with truth. We are to receive it into our hearts. We are to hold it. We are to let it sink deep down within us. The psalmist declares in Psalm 119 verse 11, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I may not sin against thee." Really, this is the same thought there, letting the word sink deep within us. This, of course, takes discipline and it takes determination. We need to spend time alone in the word of God. If we are to learn the word, if we are to receive the seed of righteousness, the seed of truth into our souls, then we need to spend time alone with God's word, studying the word, hungering after it, feeding our souls upon it on a daily basis. And this takes discipline. It takes a certain amount of determination. Psalm 1 reminds us, "Blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." What a picture is painted for us there. The man who meditates upon God's word, the man who learns it, he's like the tree. It brings forth his fruit in his season. Whatsoever he does shall prosper. And really the same principle is taught here. We are to be a people that are fruitful. If we are to be a people that know God's blessing in our lives and prosper spiritually, then there needs to be this meditating upon God's word day and night. In other words, continually meditating upon the word of God. Giving ourselves to it. If you study the history of revival in the church, you will discover every time a season of spiritual revival occurred, it was closely connected to a hearing and receiving of the word. Every time. God's word was the fuel that drove that reformation or revival. In Josiah's day, there was a great reformation, one of the greatest revivals in the nation of Israel, in Josiah's day. But how did that commence? It commenced when the word of God was rediscovered. It was found in the temple as it was being renovated. And as Josiah came face to face with the truth, then he turned to God in repentance, and there was a great reformation in the land, because the word of God was rediscovered. In Nineveh, a great revival broke out. Many were converted in that city. But how did that start? When Jonah went and preached the word. Preached the word. Pentecost. What did the apostles do? They simply preached the word. Thousands were converted. During the Protestant Reformation in the 16th century. What happened then? There was the translation of the scriptures into the language of the people. And that produced a great reformation, a great reviving spiritually of the nations. You see, as you study the history of the church, revival is closely connected every time to learning of the Word of God. Therefore, believer, if you want to know personal revival, there needs to be a feeding on the bread of heaven. You need to set your heart upon the truth of God's word. You need to let this seed fall deep down within your soul. There needs to be a learning of the scriptures, a learning of the word. Sowing to ourselves in righteousness not only involves a learning of the word, it also involves a living the word, a living of it. James puts it this way in James 1:22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Be ye doers and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Perhaps this is the area that we all need to give the most careful attention to. Doing the word. You see, we can fall into the trap of thinking if we read our Bibles and if we come to God's house and listen to the preaching of his word, then we're doing our bit. We have been spiritual. And we have behaved in a right and proper way. And of course it's right, as we've just thought, to read our Bibles. It's right to listen to the word of God preached. But don't think for one moment that's the end of it. Don't think for one moment that makes you a spiritual person. We are not only to hear the word, we are to do the word. We must rightly and obediently respond to the truth of God's word. And if we don't, and listen to me very carefully, if we don't rightly respond to the word of God, then we behave just like fools. Just like fools. And that's what Christ said. I pointed out a few weeks ago, this is what the Lord Jesus was teaching as he told the parable of the wise man and the foolish man, each building a house. Christ had preached that sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. And at the very end of that sermon, he told the parable of the wise man and the foolish man, each building a house. And he said this of the foolish man, in Matthew 7:26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man. See, the foolish person, the person who hears but doesn't do the word, hears it but doesn't respond to it, live in it, foolish man. They're fools. That's what Christ says. Christian, is it your desire to live out the word of God in your life? Is it? As you read the scriptures in your own home, do you read it with this desire? Lord, what would you have me to do? How would you have me to live? As you come to God's house, as you hear the word of God preached, as you direct it from scripture here, do you come with a heart saying, how can I obey? How can I live? How can I respond? Or do you just come on a Lord's day to sit through the service and say, well, you know, I've done my bit. And no one can think ill of me because I've been to church, I've listened to a sermon, I'm spiritual. Let me say it again. Christ says that's to behave as a fool. It's the wise man that hears the word and does it. And does it. The reign of righteousness will only come when there's not only a sorrowing over sin, but also a submission to the scriptures. A sowing to ourselves in righteousness. A letting the truth of God's word sink deep within our souls. And then a responding to that truth. And a living out of it in our lives. This is what Hosea was saying to these people in the nation of Israel who were in a backslidden and bad state. This is what you must do. This is how you must behave if you're to know the reign of righteousness coming upon you. And this is what God is saying to us today. How then will you respond to this? How will you react to this? Will you react as a wise person or as a fool? The reign of righteousness will only come when there is a sorrowing over sin, a submission to the scriptures. One last thing, notice with me here, and that is the reign of righteousness will only come when there is a seeking after the Savior. See again the words of our text in verse 12 here in Hosea 10. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and in righteousness upon you. Hosea here was very much exhorting the people of Israel to seek the Lord. To seek the Lord that they might know his salvation in their lives. The thought that he really was declaring to them was, set your heart upon the Lord and make him your greatest desire and longing. The word seek in this verse actually means to worship. To worship. It is time to worship the Lord till he come and in righteousness upon you. And so the whole idea here is one of delighting in and yearning after the Lord. And that's what we do when we worship. We are delighting in God. We're yearning after him. We're wanting to magnify him. We're wanting to know him and to experience him in our lives. This is what we do in worship. And this is what Hosea was exhorting the people of Israel to do. To seek the Lord. Now as we think of what is said here, we should note that God always gives to his people what they really want. And I want you to understand this today. God always gives to his people what they really want. When the people of Israel desired flesh in the wilderness, what did God give them? God gave them flesh. Psalm 78 verse 29 tells us, so they did eat and were filled, for he gave them their own desire. They cried out, they were sick of this man, and they cried out for flesh, and God gave them flesh. Huge abundance of it. When the people of Israel did not want to enter into the promised land, what did God give them? He gave them their desire. They wandered for 40 years in the wilderness. When the people of Israel desired a king to rule over them instead of the Lord, what did God give them? Again, he gave them their desire. He gave them King Saul to rule over them. Now, all of these things were not for their own good. They were not ultimately for their own happiness. Yet, the Lord gave them what they desired, and he chastened them, and he rebuked them by giving to them what they really desired. These things were not a reward. The Lord was reproving them through these things. And we should also note, and it's a very important point to note, God ultimately gives the Christ rejecter what they desire. Think of that today. The Christ rejecter refuses Christ. The Christ rejecter doesn't want Christ. Wants to live without Christ. In the end, that's exactly what the Christ rejecter will have. An eternity without Christ. Which is hell itself. An eternity removed from all of Christ's graces and goodnesses and loves and mercies. They will have what they desire. And so God always gives to people what they desire. And when the church desires carnal things, when the church desires worldly things, vain and empty things, when the Christian does, the Lord lets them have it. However, when God's people seek after him, and this is the glorious truth in this passage, when God's people seek after him and sets their heart upon him, then the Lord will graciously give to them that which they desire. He will give them himself, the blessing of his presence and prosperity in their lives. And this always happens. It always happens And God's people set their heart upon him. And when there is an earnest seeking after God, when there's a longing to know him, when there's a hunger and thirsting after him, then God will give to his people that which they desire. He will give himself to his people, and with that, his mighty blessing and goodness and prosperity in their lives. Remember what the Lord told the people of Judah in Jeremiah 29, verse 13. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And again, the Lord was saying there, listen, I'll give you what you desire. When you seek me, you shall have me. But when you don't seek me, when you seek other things, you'll not have me. Of course, that's the opposite of that. Think also what it says in Psalm 37, verse 4. The Lord says, delight thyself also. The psalmist says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. We delight ourselves in the Lord. If we make the Lord our delight, living for him our delight, desiring him our delight, then he shall give us the desires of our heart. We shall have him. The reign of righteousness will come. It will come when there is an earnest seeking after the Savior. An earnest seeking after him. Now, are you going to join with God's people and do this? And really, this is the challenge today. This is the challenge of this verse of Scripture. It is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Are you going to rise to the challenge? Are you going to join with God's people? Are you going to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon us? Till he come and revive his work? Till he come with mighty blessing in these days? Are you going to seek him? Because if you do, he will come. And he will come in your life. And he will come into your family. And he will come into the work of God here. And he will rain righteousness upon us. God is faithful. God's word is true. It can be believed. Are you going to seek the Savior today? Are you going to join with God's people this week? Oh, I trust you will. I trust that you will set your heart upon this reign of righteousness, this time of refreshing and blessing that we desperately need. For it is time to seek the Lord. I trust God will bless his word to our hearts today for his own name's sake. Amen. Let's just close our time in a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. Lord, realize that the word of God comes at times with such force upon us that we feel its weight and we feel its authority. And we pray, O God, that you will cause your word to have an effect upon our lives this day. May there be a breaking up of the fallow ground, a sorrowing over sin. May there be a sowing in righteousness, a submission to the Scriptures. And may there be a seeking of the Savior, a seeking of the Lord. Lord, we want to know this reign of righteousness. We want to know times of refreshing. We confess, Lord, this is what we desperately need. Oh God, work in our lives. By your Spirit today, work in our souls, work in our lives. With, Lord, us, as made around your word, remember those that will leave us, go with them. May your blessing be our portion. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.